Good morning, saints of the Most High God. Welcome to the Dispensational Bible Study church service, if you will, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And once again, our meeting room is still closed. We will not know anything probably till the end of the month, if then. Once again, we're broadcasting remotely in Cambridge, Ohio. And there's a couple announcements I want to share with you. First of all, keep our prayer requests that we've talked about in the past. There are people that goes to our local assembly with the illnesses and health issues and finances and jobs. It seems like it may be getting a little better as far as the COVID-19 crisis. But for some of us are still kind of sick, and we want to lift you up in the word to the Lord, and knowing that He is faithful, and even though we may not be faithful, He is faithful. And with that being said, I do have announcements. I mentioned last week we're going to be having our church service meeting at the Amish Door on July 17th, 18th, 19th. We reserved a room there. Hopefully the COVID crisis has passed, but if not, we have the distancing mandates in place there. I know some people's asked about, can they come and stay? You make your reservations there, and they'll take care of you that way. I know there's a few people that are coming down, and that's exciting. We will probably have a couple preachers that are there. We'll be doing meetings. So I'm looking at right now Saturday morning having a couple meetings, and then Saturday evening, and then Sunday morning having a couple meetings, and then by the morning meeting, everybody will do their own thing type of thing. There'll be no more meetings after the 12 o'clock one or 11 o'clock one. So that's exciting to know that we're going to try to get together, and the Word of God will not be bound. As you know, many of the churches are starting to open up. The Word of God is getting out faithfully by men and women, if you will. They're continue to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I appreciate the ones that are donating to the ministry to help take care of some things. I really appreciate that, or we really appreciate that. So if you want to know how to do that, there is a donate button on our website at dispensationalbiblechurch.org that you can go to and donate what you can towards the ministry. That way it pays for the internet and things like we're going to be doing in July. I'm not sure if there's anything else. But once again, keep our loved ones in thought and prayer, that they may be going through some things that we may not be aware of, but at the same time, the Lord tells us to make all things known to Him, and in doing so, it brings us peace. So let's go to the Word of God. Father, once again, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the things You've given us, and as we ask to lift up the prayer requests and the meetings and everything that's going on in the world, it does seem like it's a dark time, but once again, Lord, we are supposed to be light in a dark world, and let the people that's struggling and don't know what to do and emotions running high, they can see that we have the Word, that we have a doctrine, we have the ability to clear our minds and allow You to work through us in the right way. And as we think about what we're going through, the book of Daniel, Lord, let we be able to understand some things that he was learning himself, and to be able to teach the nation Israel how they're going to go through some tribulation times, and we can maybe just learn something from it, because all the Bible's not all the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to us, and the Bible is written for our learning and admiration. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you be turning, we're in lesson 60 in the book of Daniel. And we've been in the book of Daniel well over a year now. And so we're in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And I know we left off describing some things about the mystery program. This is what the yellow part of the timeline is, and we was making some distinctions for that, but we'll get back to that shortly. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, and I trust that you can hear me clearly, and also if you can't, then just throw up your hand or that type of thing. But know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. In other words, there's a 7 week period, 49 years, to rebuild the city and the wall around it. And then there's a 62 weeks, week period until the Messiah, the Prince, and that's a total of 69 weeks. After 69 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, referring to the crucifixion. Now, verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. You should have that after underline, because when is this going to take place? After 69 weeks. So it's extremely important that we see this gap, if you will, that's going to be taking place in here. And there's a gap in the prophetic program and a time element. And there's a gap between the 69 week and the start, now this 69 week, and the start of the 70th week over here. And where prophecy doesn't tell how long it's going to be. Now, I know people says, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Well, God's got his own time schedule. It's in his word, but sometimes we don't see that. In fact, when God had the mystery program, the dispensation of grace hid in himself before the prophetic program took place, nobody knew that. Nobody knew what time it was coming down the track, if you will. So remember, we looked at Luke 13, and be turning to Luke chapter 19 while I got you, and we saw that Christ gave an added time element involved there. Remember the year, the fig tree type of thing. So we saw that, and the decree to rebuild the city in Nehemiah chapter 2, and the date generally given is around 445 B.C. Now, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. My throat's a little dry this morning, so I do apologize. Luke chapter 19. And verse 41, but first, let me read verse 37 for a second. Let's go back to verse 37. There's some things I was looking at this morning about this. It says, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitudes of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they have seen. Now, they weren't afraid of something here. Okay, they was rejoicing, wasn't they? They wasn't worried about what was coming down the pike. But why? Why wasn't they afraid, according to that verse right there? What would you say? Because they had seen the works that he was doing. See, God Almighty was sitting there. Jesus Christ was doing works. You wouldn't be afraid either. If you think about it, if the Lord Jesus Christ was here on this earth today, and you was a believer and you was a follower of Lord Jesus Christ and he was doing mighty works, you wouldn't be afraid of anything that's going on in the world or what the government's going to crack down on you. So by faith, we understand what Jesus Christ is doing today, and we can say, hey, we know, we can rejoice. We have heard what he has done. We have seen through his word. So don't be afraid of some things that's going on in the world that you don't know anything about. You know, just a little sidetrack that what's going on in the world, it is frightening to a lot of people. And a lot of us had, you know, if you want to say easy street, I'm not saying that you had life easy, but, you know, nobody's come down on you and throw bricks in your windows and things like that. And this is where you really got to tone who you are in Christ and understand some things, what's going on. Now look, saying, verse 38, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. These are what they're saying. They're rejoicing in the fact. And some of the who? Pharisees from among the multitudes said unto him, Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Son of the living God. What did they say? Master. These guys never did recognize the Lord Jesus Christ of who he was, but they called him a master. Rebuke thy disciples. They're turning to him and saying, calm you people down. You know, does that sound familiar? You know, that type of thing. But look, verse 40, and he answered and said unto them, who's it them? The Pharisees. He, Lord, I tell you that if these should hold thy peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So what he's saying is, if he did what the Pharisees asked him to do, and quiet the disciples that was crying out in the highest, the rocks, the stones would cry out and do it for them. You know, so you can't hide the truth if it's inside of you, and the way I look at it. But here's where we're going in verse 41. I just had to share it with you. Verse 41. And when he, Christ, was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, and who's thou? Israel, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace. But now thou have hid from thy eyes, for the day shall come upon thee, that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and thou shalt not leave in thee one stone upon the other, underline it, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now, he is talking about destruction of Jerusalem. And because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation, and they went into the temple, And he tells them about the destructions of that temple. Because Daniel says the Messiah will be cut off. Then the city and the temple shall be restored. And this is after the 69 weeks. Okay? Now, Sir Robert Anderson, we talked about him a couple lessons ago, say Nehemiah, from Nehemiah chapter 2, 445 B.C. is over to Luke chapter 19, verse 41, where you're at. And when it says, this thou day was exactly 480-some years between those two events. So when Christ is saying, if you had known the 69 weeks are over right now, who's there? The Messiah. The Messiah is there. But you don't recognize me, the Messiah, not me personally, but Jesus Christ. And the city will be destroyed and the temple will be destroyed just like Daniel said. Now, what should they have been doing? Paying attention to what?
The scriptures.
Not only the scriptures, but the timeline. That it's laid out from Daniel, what he's talking about, the timeline Nehemiah and them's talking about. And you were not watching for the time and the seasons that God has put in your power to know and to understand in his word. Listen, God's got a timeline. When we use this chart here, it's a timeline of what the Bible is. Okay? God works on time. You and I work on time. It's a scheduling process. If you're scheduled to get on an airplane at 11:05, you don't show up at 11:30. That's common sense. God's word's got a timeline, and what he's working on that prophetic system, if you will, and the mystery system, what he's doing today. So when you get over to Acts chapter 1, you don't have to go there, but I do want you to go to Luke chapter 21. When he tells disciples, apostles, that they can't know the times and the seasons in Acts chapter 1. Why? Because there's a gap period in an undetermined amount of time that's going to take place over here. So that you can't, the time element is put on it. No, there isn't one. So the first 69 weeks, it's over. And they can identify that day, and they should identify that day for that type of thing. They know Jerusalem will be destroyed, guys. They know that Jerusalem shall be destroyed. They know there will be a war. They know that but what they don't know is about the mystery program. Okay? I know there's people out there says it was hidden God's word. That's an error. It was hidden God himself. And they don't know anything about that. So they had to, so when he's talking about them, they have to wait and watch for some things that's going to take place. He tells them in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to start with verse 5 for a second. Luke 21 verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be one stone upon the other, thou shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? Wouldn't you want to know? Yeah, because the temple's there. Some of them recognize him as the king. Some, not all. And you would want to know when these things will be. And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then shall he unto the nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, thou shalt lay their hands on you and prosecute you, delivering you up to the where? Not the county courthouse. Okay? He's talking to Israel here, guys. What's going to take place to Israel over here? Now, I know, and in the prisons, it says, let's continue, in the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for thy name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and ye shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair on your head perish, and your patience pose what ye in your soul. He's telling them not to worry about it. Nobody's going to harm you. That type of thing. But here are the signs that are going to come. That's what he's explaining there, right? Now, if you watch them, the Antichrist will come over here. Not here in the dispensation of grace. I'm sorry to tell you that the President of the United States is not the Antichrist. You know, you've probably seen that time and time again. It kind of, it's this, not discouraging, it's distasteful, that type of thing. They say that to about every president, by the way, if you think about it. But look, watch, the Antichrist will come, then the details of the tribulation, and then Christ will come. And in that gap period we're talking about is an area when they don't have the exact calendar to go by, but they end up in the 69 weeks here. They know that, but now they're when they're like, what's going on? Where's the calendar at? Okay, if you don't have a calendar of events, some of you go nuts because you don't know what to do, and sometimes we like to fly by the seat of our pants, so to speak, don't we? You know, we just like to, on the spur of the moment, let's just do something. Well, that's nothing wrong with that, but some of us like to plan a little bit. Okay, well, if we run out of gas halfway there and we only got $5 in the pocket and it costs $25 to get back, that type of thing. You got to plan a little bit. You know, Sherry and I went to a wedding yesterday way down in southern Ohio, and it was beautiful, wasn't it? A really nice setup, just out in the country, and you know, plenty of space, you know. But it took a little while to get there, and there's roads, and we got on a detour. And the first thing I thought about, why didn't my son tell me about this detour? Because you couldn't get to the road where we needed to go. Well, he used a different GPS system, you know, to get there, and went straight there. But we end up in there, but we kind of had a plan, but we kind of said we'll just take our time and stuff. It wasn't too bad. Very beautiful day, warm. Good thing I wore a hat, and we found a hat. I'm sure you had a hat, so that type of thing. But we didn't have, we had that on our calendar, but some of the events that took place getting there and getting back, we just said, hey, we're out in the country, we're going to take our time, that type of thing. So because ye didn't know this time, that's what he's talking about. Should they have known the time? Yes, they should. You weren't watching. You weren't going to buy the book. You weren't going by the basis of doctrine that had been resonating in your soul, talking about Israel, and giving the understanding of what God is doing during this time, and you didn't have your eyes open, and destruction's coming. Listen, on a side note here a little bit, we have a completed Word of God today, okay? We don't have to guess what God is doing out here in this evil world. Who's running this world today? The God of this world, Satan, okay? So you expect any good thing coming out of this? No, no. So who are you today is the same thing that Israel should have been yesterday in times past. And by the way, there were people, now don't get me wrong, are they people today understand what Jesus Christ is doing and what God is doing in the dispensation of grace? Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Okay? That's why we preach the Word of God rightly divided. God says that he wants all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. We know that all man's not going to be saved. They choose not to trust Christ, died for their sins, and buried and rose again. So they're not going to be able to come to the truth. But we also know there's some people that trust Christ, died and buried and rose again, and, you know, they still choose not to believe the Word of God, or rightly divided, if you will. I'm not saying they're not saved, but they choose not to. The Bible says there's people out there ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth and type of thing. But there was people there that didn't have their eyes closed. They had their eyes open, and they was waiting and did know what was going on. And I think we looked at some of those people a couple weeks ago in Luke chapter 2 up at the temple, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And they knew the time schedule was coming by the pike. They knew they was waiting. And the Lord showed up. And one of them said, the Lord showed me I would live until I saw the Messiah. And he did see the Messiah. And a lot of them had Numbers chapter 4 to figure back on in a public ministry. And a lot of them nailed it down within 3 years when Jesus Christ was going to be born and come on the scene. So that program was working. And once again, when we look at this timeline here, this upper line is the true nation of Israel, the true believer, what they was doing, okay, what was coming down the pike. This one down here is the Gentiles. That would have been me. That would have been you. You know, we was without God and all that good stuff. Well, not good stuff, but bad stuff. Daniel chapter 26. Daniel chapter 26. Stay in Luke chapter 21. But Daniel chapter 26 and says, "And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Okay? Time-wise, that's Luke chapter 19. Then the crucifixion. "And the people of the prince shall come in and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and in thereof shall be a flood until the with a flood, and until the end of the war desolations are determined." We know that flood is a flood of armies, a flood of people. "And after the Messiah is cut off, the city and the temple will be destroyed." Then there's going to be a treacherous war going on, guys, and they're going to persecute on Israel. And Luke chapter 19, verses 43 through 44, that we saw the destruction of Jerusalem is talked about. And but in Luke chapter 21, he takes them into the temple, and he talks to them about the destruction of the temple. And verse 20 says, "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation therefore is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and not let that are and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vigilance, that all things which was written may be fulfilled." What you're reading here is about what's going on after the crucifixion that Daniel is talking about. And the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, the persecution of Israel, that prophets would prophesy was coming. That's where we're at right here in Daniel chapter 9:26. By the way, you think when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking on this earth, talking about the time that's going to take place over there, you think he would use anything else but his word?
No.
You think Jesus Christ would make something up? No. He's going right down the pike what Daniel was talking about. Okay? Luke chapter 21, verse 23. "But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people." Now who's this people? Israel. Okay? The tribulation period is called the wrath to come. You know who warned them about that in Matthew chapter 3? I hope you do. John the Baptist said, "Flee." Who's going to warn you for the wrath to come over here? He had a message, John the Baptist had a message to not let them go through that wrath of ours, that type of thing. So verse 24 says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations." This wrath is before the 70th week begins. And the wrath fits in the whole time elements after the stoning of Stephen right here. And it starts with the 70th week, not including this mystery period. You can't include that in that because they didn't know about it. And it's not the second coming of Jesus Christ over there, but this period describes as prophecy, as wrath. Now, remember, as we teach the Word of God, in Acts chapter 7, if you had this chart closed, in Acts chapter 7, with the stoning of Stephen, started the 70th week. You got to remember that when Jesus Christ was standing up, when Stephen saw him standing up, what was about to happen is the wrath was getting ready to pour out on the nation Israel and on the world. He's standing at the right hand of God, ready to pour it out. And it was a time for the wrath to be poured out. But it got interrupted. Okay? And prophecy, because he interrupted with the mystery program. Listen, when Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, he had everything going for him almost like what the Antichrist did. Okay? He hated the nation as a whole. He hated, he loved his nation, I should say, but he hated the fact that people was preaching about Jesus Christ. God saved him over here. But the wrath was going to pour out and start this tribulation period over here, not this period right here. And Luke 21:24 says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led by all way captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be what? Amen. Fulfilled." So look, when the temple was destroyed, supposedly in AD 70, did the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled? We're still in the times of the Gentiles. It don't end till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back over here. So that's another thing you need to be thinking about, why the world's going on the way it is right now. Jerusalem will be destroyed, and the temple will be destroyed, and a persecution against the nation. And in the midst of that persecution, up sets the Antichrist. And verse 24 says, you know, a lot of people says that's 70 A.D., And they said during the tribulation, Israel won't be carried away. But what did you just read? They will be carried away again. And that type of thing. In Acts chapter 2, you got to remember, the tribulation period is limited. They mistake the tribulation period, limited it to 7 years. But it's not. Acts chapter 2 is just as much part of the tribulation as the 70th week. So you got to remember that. Go back to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel chapter 9. You get the destruction of the city and the war. Just before the Antichrist shows up, the city is going to be destroyed. And the temple will be destroyed. And Israel will have havoc wreaked in it. They won't know what to do. And when we get over chapter 11 in Daniel, we're going to find the details of this warfare. But right now you're going to see some things that what he's identified is going to be laid out for chapter 11. Now verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, what's going to happen here, the Antichrist is going to come and rescue Israel. And just like in chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, we already saw that the Antichrist is going to do something. And we learn he's going to do it within 220 days of the beginning of the 70th week. And the temple of Jerusalem will be restored and rebuilt, and the sacrifices is going to be restored. So you can see that all this stuff was taking place, the temple's destroyed and stuff like that. And you got a Messiah coming in, saving everybody. Don't that sound like a great thing for the nation of Israel? And they're going to be deceived, and we're going to look at that. But didn't verse 26 say the temple was destroyed, right? And didn't it say the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary? Yes, it did. How is in verse 27 can they be offering the sacrifices if the temple is destroyed? You ever thought about that? Probably not. But it is. Because guess what's going to happen? It's going to get built. It's going to get rebuilt. And we learn in Daniel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, there's a period of the time that in the 70th week, the 220 days after the beginning of the week, the temple was rebuilt, and for 2,300 days, daily sacrifices exist. So he builds the temple back over here, and they're going to offer sacrifices, and Israel's going to love that. They're going to love that. So there is a rebuilding of the temple under the Antichrist at the beginning, and he restores the city. Do you know what that covenant is? He shall confirm the covenant with many 1 week. Okay? When you talk to an Israelite, a son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, about the covenant, what are you talking about? Let me ask you this. Who did God make a covenant with?
The nation Israel.
Not only Israel, but who was the father?
Abraham.
There you go. And I'm going to share this with you. God made covenants with the house of Israel, which incorporated the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the law, the Davidic covenant, and the Palestinian covenant. That's land. And the law was a if you do this principle, right? If then type of principle. That's law. Therefore, you get blessings and cursings. And the new covenant is yet future from what he told over there, back there. And God will write the laws in their hearts. He's not on stones. It's going to be in their hearts of the believers. Then they will become a holy nation. When the old covenant began, we looked at this several lessons ago in Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 through 8. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read it to you anyway. It says, when the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of the Egypt and told Moses to tell the children, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And all the people answered together and said, Oh, that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Bingo. Who agreed with it?
Everybody.
Yes, all means all. And in Exodus 20, and the Lord gave the children of Israel not only the Ten Commandments, but all 613 commandments that contained in the law. In Exodus 24, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, the law, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning the law. So all the covenants are established and sanctified by the blood. You see that? Taken care of. Now in the earthly ministry of Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're still in that Old Testament. You're still under that covenant. In the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, the Lord said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall nowise pass from the law, till all be what? Fulfill. Now Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says that Christ was made under the law of Moses, right? And in the middle of Christ's ministry, in Matthew chapter 8 verse 2, Christ cleansed the man of leprosy. And leprosy was a symbol of sin that must be cleansed by the shedding of blood. And he told the man, go and show thyself to the priest and offer a gift, which was what? A blood sacrifice that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And at the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, it talks about Jesus spoke to the multitudes and his disciples and said to them, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whosoever thou bid you of what? Observe that observe and do. So the law could atone for sins, but the law could not take away those sins. Now, the Old Testament covenant ended at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ right there. And you need to read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 14, 24, 22. But when the New Testament began, that everybody says, you know, turn to the New Testament type of thing, it began technically at the cross, but particularly at a later time. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, we read, just a few minutes ago, when Jesus took bread, Jesus Christ, took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now Jeremiah chapter 31:31 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with our fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, those days, saith the Lord. I will bring my law in their inwards and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my" what? "People." Over here, there's a new covenant, a new testament takes place that you find in Jeremiah, the Old Testament. Okay? And he says, by the shedding of his blood, he will make a new covenant with them. Listen, Israel is a New Testament messianic church, the gospel of kingdom through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we are not a covenant people. God never did make a covenant with the body of Christ. And because he did not make a covenant with the church, we cannot claim those covenant promises today, but we have the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we receive the New Testament spiritual blessings, not by a covenant or promise, but by the grace of God. The if so principle of the law don't pertain to us. And if we don't realize we're in this program, guess what happens? Confusion and division takes place. We're in the dispensation of grace that began at the conversion of Paul. And God through Paul says, 1 Timothy 1:16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Listen, Paul's a pattern today in the dispensation of grace that if you believe in him, Jesus Christ, what he did at Calvary, that he died and buried and rose again, it's hereafter everlasting life, not before what this. And I said this before, and I say it again, I say this with love. There's people tell you today it's okay to trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, right? But you have to do this, and you have to do that. You're adding to the cross, the finished work of the cross. And I would like to look at you today and say, what do you trust to get to heaven? And what would you tell me? Would you tell me you do good works?
No.
Would you tell me you got baptized? Would you tell me you read the Bible? Would you tell me you pay tithing? You tell me you was a good person?
No.
No. You have to trust. You tell me you trust in what? The blood of Jesus Christ. The finished work of Christ. You're saved. You're saved. Praise God. You're saved. But you don't. But they tell you that. They say, well, okay. But you got to go. You got to do what Jesus did. There's a question a dear brother put on a Facebook page: who do you follow, Christ or Paul? You know, and then what books are you going to be judged out of? That type of thing. Well, who do you trust for your salvation?
Jesus.
It's Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Be ye followers of me as I follow Christ." We just have a pattern, guys. Much as we just read that God told Moses, told the nation of Israel, do what Moses said. He even told them to do what the Pharisees said, because why? They sit in that authority. Ephesians chapter 3 says, "If you have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me to you." The church, the body of Christ, the mystery church today, is the gospel of the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? We are saved by that. Now, back to Israel. Back to Israel. The Antichrist will come in and say, "I am him," over here. And he's going to have fulfilled all the covenant that God made with the fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now me. Not me, but Antichrist. He will come in and with a false Abrahamic covenant. It's unreal what he will do. He'll make a covenant with Israel will make a covenant with the Antichrist because he will rescue them and deliver them and restore their temple and city and put the sacrifices and the obligations and the offering of praise back in their hands. They want that power. They want that what's going on. Man, I can't help thinking what's going on in our government right now, how people want to just control and take over, you know, and try to say they're going to make things better. They're not going to make things better. They've been in control all this time. It's just sad that people will fall for that stuff. Open your eyes. Get in the Word. This is what changes us. The Antichrist will convince Israel that he is the Messiah. There's people out there who will try to convince you that they know what's right for you. God knows what's right for you. You know what to do in this book. Don't get caught up on this emotional stuff. That is the Antichrist here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 we're talking about. The Antichrist brings that false Abrahamic covenant. Now, Hosea chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Ephraim, that's Israel. I want you to listen to this. Feedeth on wind and follow after the east wind. He daily increase lies and disillusion. And they will make a covenant with the Assyrian. That's the Antichrist, is an Assyrian. And oil is carried into Egypt. Now, with a cross reference on the feedeth, Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says this. For they have sown the wind, and they shall weep a whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. There's nothing there. There's no substance there. You know, my wife got goats for her Mother's Day present. And they're just adorable little thing. You know, one of them's going to get 350, can get up to 350 pounds. I'm thinking, oh, what are we going to do with that thing? But we're feeding it feed. And it's got corn in it. Corn really is not a good substance, is it? You eat corn, what does it usually do? Pass right through you. You know, we changed our dog food, no corn in it. And they became healthier and wealthier and wise type of thing. But this is what I'm thinking about. They're sowing some things out there with no stalk. It's just, you know, and people's eating it up. Job chapter 15 verse 2 says, shall a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? That east wind that Hosea is talking about, the east wind that he's talking about is nothing. It's just fake stuff out there. It's just puffed up words. It's fake news, if you will. Then in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 22 says, the wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into the captivity. Surely then shall they be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. Hey, it's affecting the preachers here, the pastors there. Okay? You know what sheeple is, right? That's what a lot of people are out there right now, sheeple. You know, they're following a pastor, they'll follow them down off the cliff. But I was just looking at that feedeth, I'm like, wow, that could be going on today. You better know where your words are coming from, shouldn't you? You better know how you get your nutrition from. And when, listen, I want to tell you, I don't know it all. Don't claim to know it all. Okay, I know my wife sometimes think I do, but, you know, it's just, I'm just saying when it comes to this, don't get that knee-jerk reaction what's going on around you. Stay steady. Feed on substance. feed your soul with sound doctrine. Paul talks about the gospel, the grace of God being sound doctrine. That's what you need. So when we get to chapter 11, Daniel, and if you will be turning to Isaiah chapter 28, there will be a war in Palestine between the king of the north and the king of the south. And the king of the south is Egypt, and the king of the north is Syria. And the Antichrist comes down, and those 10 kings, you know, we looked at this before, he subdues 3 of them and takes over. And then his ploy is to move, and he bids, and when he does, Israel falls for it. Okay? Just like bingo. He starts calling numbers out, and they get bingo, or tic-tac-toe, if you will. In Revelation chapter 6, their fourth rider is called Death. Just bear with me, because I'm going to get through this in this lesson, hopefully finish what I'm trying to finish. And hell follows him. Death is the rider's name, and hell belches itself out of that demonic beings, comes out in Revelation chapter 9, and hell follows him. In Isaiah chapter 28 is a passage that looks towards the second coming of Jesus Christ in that tribulation period. Verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye skillful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, talking to the leaders of Jerusalem here, we have made a covenant with death and hell, are we at agreement? And when the overflowing squall shall pass through, it shall not come upon us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. God says judgment is coming, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be in heaven. And in the middle of the week, he will come back down into the heavens, okay? And cast out Satan. Now he's in the third heaven right now. Then the second heavens is where the stars and the angelic beings are. Then the first heavens are the blue skies. And he will be in the heavens until Satan will be on earth, convincing the people on earth that Jesus Christ is the devil, that he is Jesus Christ. I've said this once, I've said it before. The middle of the week opens up. Antichrist is sitting on that throne, okay? Jesus Christ comes out of third heaven up here into the heavens where he is the prince and power of the air. Jesus Christ rolls up the scroll and dumps them bad apples right on earth. Meanwhile, the heavens are open up. The Antichrist that claims to be Jesus Christ stands up and points up there at God, Jesus Christ, and he's coming down with vengeance, with fire, with a pitchfork in his hand. That looks like the devil. And people's going to look at the Antichrist thinking, you're our Messiah. Save us from this. Okay? And Satan will pour out his wrath, and they are fighting, against him. Because there's a war against the Antichrist too. And these leaders that made the covenant with the Antichrist says, God says, you guys have put your trust in lies. That's not a good thing, is it? The Antichrist is the lie, guys. Who has been the liar from the beginning? Satan. In 2 Thessalonians chapter, Isaiah chapter 28. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 says, God shall send them strong delusions that they might believe a lie. You have made lies your refuge, it said. And you have trusted in a falsehood and have hid yourselves. And trusted in a false covenant made with the false Christ. They made a covenant with death and hell. They feedeth on the east wind of the lie. That's the Antichrist. You know, people doing that today, Sad. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 18 says, "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." Now the overflowing scourge. Scourge. Thank you. It's described in verse 27 through 29. It says, "For the fetches are not threshed with the threshing instrument, neither is the cart wheel turned about into the column, but the fetches are beaten out of the shaft, and the coming of with the rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. Thus also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." What this passage describes is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it describes a threshing instrument and the chariot with wheels on it and its horsemen. He's talking about a passage that the people are going to be destroyed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. They make a covenant with the Antichrist. They make agreement with death and hell. It's a false Abrahamic covenant. And he gives them false fulfillment of the covenant and gets them back in their land and the nation in the land. And in the middle of the week, the 70th week, he causes sacrifices to cease. And he will take the daily sacrifices and make it stop. It says, "And in the overspreading of abomination he shall make desolate." Remember when Jesus Christ talked about in Matthew 24, "When ye therefore see the abomination desolate spoken of Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." Come with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means." This is Apostle Paul talking to the Thessalonians, which is a part of the body of Christ. Some say this is the first letter he wrote. Some say Galatians is the first letter he wrote. I'm happy with either one of them, because this is dealing with the catching away and the rapture part. And that's okay with me. For that day, the day of wrath, shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Now, the Antichrist in the first week, half of the week, is called the man of sin. The second half, he's called the son of perdition. We talked about this in many times before. Verse 9:27 says, "Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, and that is worship, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God." Okay, that's verse 4 there, and that's what Daniel chapter 9:27 is talking about. That Antichrist is going to sit in here in the temple of God in Jerusalem that he rebuilt, and he's going to sit, "And I am God." Okay? And you know something else? Verse 5 says, "Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things." Could they have known? Should they have known? Let me ask you this. This book is written to us. Can you know if the Antichrist is on the scene right now? He's not in Washington, D.C., Jerusalem is not even built back yet, the Great Wall. So he can't be sitting there, okay? And this is what Paul was telling them. This can't take place until this happens. And God Almighty says, "I'm the one that dwells in the mercy seat between the cherubims. The Antichrist will go in there and take the Jewish worship, take away the Mosaic worship, and he reinstitutes and sits down on the mercy seat and says, I am God, worship me. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to do it. They're eating off them buds without stalks. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, I'm getting ready to close here a little bit. Don't want to lie to you. Revelation 13, verse 3, there's an image that the false prophet sets up. And I saw one of his heads as that it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. In the first half of the week, he is a man of sin. He dies in the middle of the week. He is resurrected, and he's the son of perdition. The beast comes out of that bottomless pit. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth to speak great things and blaspheming. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, and to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. He becomes great, guys. And in verse 11 through 17, the false prophet comes up and makes the image of the beast. And they make an idol of this to this guy. And he's saying he's God. And he takes, you know, you take the mark of the beast and the image, and the course, and that's the course of those 70 weeks. Okay. Then they begin with the false covenant in the middle of the week. The Antichrist shows his true colors and becomes Satan incarnated, and goes out there and takes. And rough times are coming down the pike. It ain't like the times you're going through now. Okay. And all that you hear about the 666, there it is. That's when it takes place over there. And it's determined in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, says he will make the temple desolate, even unto consummation, and the determined shall be poured out unto desolate. The desolate is the temple. That's where it's poured out. And the 70 weeks of Israel is accumulated in a lie. Everybody, all that people over there is going to believe a lie. And it began, you know where that lie began at, guys? Yes, when Satan falling out of his position as Lucifer and was told that a man is going to the garden, the man brought it, and they propagated man all down through the years. He showed up in the garden. He is a lie. The woman was deceived. Adam made a choice, and it's been bugging us ever since. Ever since it's been in here. Then Jesus Christ will come back and destroy that over there. And when the 7th week comes, there's going to be tough sledding, if you will, because you will have to take the mark of the beast to be rationalized and reasonable in the step of the public opinion to just to get along in the world. And Daniel, you know, I know this was, if you think about what we just went over, Daniel chapter 9, it's a tough chapter to get over, but I tell you, what we shared so far, hasn't it made sense? What God is going to, what God showed Daniel over here is actually going to take place over here. But we in a dispensation of grace are not going to go through that time period. Amen. Praise God, hallelujah. We're saved from that wrath to come. Once again, you can, this will be on our website at dispensationalbiblechurch.org. If you want to help donate towards the ministry, there's a button there. It will be on our YouTube page later on also. But